Welcome to The Two Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter and more joyful belly in life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-round health geek who just loves eating dark chocolate at like 9 a.m. in the morning sometimes. I mean, sometimes I've got to do it. So welcome to this week's Gut Goddess Show episode, and this week we are doing kind of part two of a sort of how she did it tiny mini two-part series. I don't know if two parts make a series, but anyway, that's what we're going to do. And we're looking at how to ditch dairy and gluten from like an actual practical point of view, because I'll have lots of people that will say to me, oh, but how do you do it? It's just too hard. I couldn't do it for X, Y, and Z. And so we're going to look at how you can actually do that. And we have my amazing special guest, Jessica Brown, / sister, / keep supernaturally healthy alive as my awesomeness activator, community manager, and all the other roles that she does at Supernaturally Healthy. So
basically every job you don't want to do.
Yeah, all the jobs I don't want to do, guys, I get Jess to do. That's basically, that is what, yeah, it should, that's like your job description. A lot of the things that I hate doing in my business. Oh, Jess, would you like to do them? That's roughly how it goes, which has kept me sane, maybe not helped Jess's sanity. But we are going to, I'm going to chat to her and ask her just, is this going to be like a bit of a quick fire round of questions I'm going to ask her, because she transitioned to making some quite big kind of nutrition and lifestyle changes in the last 15 months, which we talked about in part one, which you'll find a link to, where we talked primarily about her weight loss journey. And what I wanted to dive in a little bit more now is just some of how she did it. Like, how did she actually make those changes? And then 15, 16 months on, keep them going and it not just be this on, off, like, godforsaken wagon of ugh, whatever. And this isn't necessarily saying this podcast that everyone needs to go and be gluten and dairy free either. You could fill this in with how did she do it? You know, maybe it's around sugar that you know that's a problem for you, or you drink loads of coffee and you're a bit like, oh, I'm not sure that's doing me any good, or anything that involves creating a new habit. Actually, a lot of the stuff we'll talk about in the bigger picture, we'll maybe be using the words like gluten and dairy, but any sort of like nutritional shift that you want to make, maybe you want to add in more green vegetables, or you just want to, I don't know, drink less gin, whatever it is.
Why would you ever want to drink less gin?
I know, I was going to say, that's
spoken
ridiculous.
Spoken like a pregnant woman. Goodness, you're just bitter.
I am bitter. I can't wait to drink some gin.
Shh, we're supposed to be healthy.
Don't tell anyone.
I mean, we only ever drink green smoothies.
Only drink green smoothies. No, I do like gin and whiskey.
Yes, and wine.
And wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Generally just strong spirits.
Yes.
In general. Like, I like gin straight. Just straight gin with a bit of lemon juice.
Yeah, I do. Have you done that thing where you freeze your tonic into a ice cube and
no,
then you pour your gin over the top? Right, stop the podcast now. That will change your life.
Wow. That's a great idea. Well, that's your top tip, guys. This episode over. If you're a fan of gin, there you go.
Everything in moderation. But I do have 3 children, so I'm kind of allowed an extra shot.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about, not necessarily about gin drinking chips. We haven't drank gin, honestly. It's 11 in the morning. But we're going to be, I'm just going to be asking Jess, because I know from talking to people, it could be really easy for you guys listening to be like, well, Kezia, you're this like holistic nutritionist and it obviously is just...
Kezia, you've got it so together, Kez. You've been doing this for ages. It must be so easy for you.
Yeah, just so easy. And I have been doing this for a while, which is why it's really helpful to interview people like Jess that have made more recent changes. And she's done it with a family, she's done it with being busy, she's done it without like suddenly spending like £700 extra on her food budget.
And to be super clear, Kezia hasn't done it all for me either.
I haven't.
Like, she's been very hands-off.
Very hands-off. Very boundaried.
But very boundaried, because we have to be really good with our boundaries, don't we? Because we're sisters and we're friends, but we also work, like, I work for you, even though I'm the oldest. So I work for you. So we've always been really good with our boundaries for stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is an area where you've been there if I needed to ask you a quick question, but you've not done it for me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of your stuff that people post, like, oh, Kez, just come live in my house and do it all for me. That's not what happened, everyone. No, that is not what's happened.
No. Well, and actually, the my perspective of that is you take responsibility. And that's kind of really the first thing with any big change. And I know that's not like the sexy thing to talk about when it comes to transforming your health.
If you say it sexy, it's like, just have to take responsibility for your life.
Yeah, I don't think that makes it sound any better.
No, right.
But any kind of change that you're wanting to make, actually, whether it's like you need to start exercising or you need to just start going to bed earlier or whatever it is just that level of personal responsibility and actually just owning the choices and also not being like crazily overambitious, which is what we kind of talked about in our last one of being realistic. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to pick Jess's brain about how she did it. But before we do that, before I get into the nitty gritty things, I didn't ask you this in our last one, so I'll ask you this now. What did you have for breakfast?
Well, today I had scrambled eggs because they're quick.
Yep.
And the amazing thing is, in the pan that my husband did his scrambled eggs in, so it's like not just single double washing winner. Up. And guys, I ate the eggs out of the pan. It was that kind of a morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I tossed in half an avo, which miraculously was ripe. I've had a bad run-in with avocados at the moment.
Me too. I've almost lost the will to buy any more.
I know. So, but it was ripe and it was nice. Ooh. So I had that, and so I had But guys, when I say I had scrambled eggs, I'm not talking like one egg. I have three eggs.
Yeah, three. Large. Three is the optimum.
Three large eggs for breakfast and half an avocado.
And a coffee.
Yeah. I did have water before. But that was me.
Great.
It's good. That's kind of a standard Jess. I don't know what time I'm going to have scrambled eggs.
Yeah, it's a good... I had that this morning, actually, because I realised I had like 5 minutes to make breakfast and...
Did you eat it out of the pan or were you classy and put it on a plate?
I did put it on a plate.
You're so classy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have eaten out of a pan, actually. I don't know why I bothered putting it on a plate. Anyway.
See?
So.
It's just posh.
I'm the posh half of this dynamic duo, obviously.
You're so posh.
So, let's begin with question one. It's like a game show.
Yeah, it is.
But it's not really. Because there's no prize.
Oh, well, you bought coffee.
I did bring you coffee, but then you gave me a naked bar, so I think that then counteracts. I did make cookies last night, actually, but then I froze them.
What? Don't tell me that. You made cookies, you didn't bring any.
I made some banana and chocolate chip ones. They're quite good.
Oh, don't tell me that. You're being mean.
You can have them in the future because they're in my freezer. they're in the freezer. They're ready
to
go.
Wait, they're no good to be in your freezer.
True.
I want them in my belly.
I know.
Kezzy's cookies are great. The banana ones are great.
I'm currently, so you'll be listening to this once baby has arrived, but we're recording it pre-baby, so I'm on mammoth job of filling up my freezers.
She's nesting. It's so funny.
Yes,
Kezzy and nesting, it's all about the food. It's really funny. Other people like clean or like organized stuff.
Uh-uh.
Kez is just on this sort of massive cooking frenzy. It's very entertaining.
I am. Like, so much cooking. I just feel so safe and comforted if I know I have lots of food in the house.
Well, you certainly do.
I do have.
Although I don't have any cookies, so.
No, you don't. I have them all. And muffins. And millionaire shortbread. And some naked bars.
We're going to have a argument, like, on air now.
Anyway, we'll get back. We'll get back to the interview. So, how... She did it. What we're looking at, what I'm going to be asking and picking Jess's brain out is a about how she transitioned from what would probably describe as like a classic British healthy, quote unquote healthy diet, whole grain breads. She made most of her food from scratch. She ate some vegetables, she ate some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sugar in there, dairy in there, wheat in there, some processed foods, but not loads of processed foods.
Yeah.
Like a standard British.
Yeah.
Quote unquote healthy diet.
Yeah, fairly healthy diet. You know, there was takeaways in there, but not a lot.
No, not crazy.
You know, like, I like to cook, so lots of spag bols and pastas and like stews and all that sort of stuff. So nothing, unusual at all.
No, and then if you haven't listened to this kind of part one, do listen to part one because we'll go into why Jess did this, where her health was at, why that maybe wasn't the healthiest diet for her. But give us a really quick reminder of why did you first start to remove dairy and gluten from your diet?
Well, really briefly, because I felt really crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried everything else. And you're my sister. And you're like, maybe. And a little Kez voice in my head was like, maybe you should try. Maybe listen to Kez. And I'm like, no. And I thought, yeah, maybe I should. And so I did.
Yeah.
But I'm very much a person yeah. where when I decided I'm going to do it, I do it. So
yes,
Kez said, so I thought the wheat and the particularly the wheat and the dairy, they're proven to interfere with your thyroid function. So, and I've got hyperthyroidism and I was feeling putting on weight and I didn't know it, but all my test results were fine. So I knew something was up. So I thought, let's try it.
Okay.
And it worked. There you go. That's it in short.
And what, was there anything you were nervous about making that change?
Yeah, like what was I going to eat?
So let's do a bit of a before. What would, before, so say 2 years ago, what would your breakfast look like?
Okay, well, it would either be, love a bit of toast.
Yeah.
Toast, but maybe with like peanut butter on, so not crazy. Or I might follow that up with a green smoothie. So I was on board with the green smoothies early yeah. on. Mainly because I tried so many of your ones that looked terrible and tasted all right.
Yeah.
You can't go around to Kez's without being like, try this!
Yeah.
Although there was that one once with cabbage in that wasn't good.
Oh, that was that really wasn't bad. Good. Don't put cabbage in a smoothie, guys.
Moral there for everyone. Just don't put cabbage mm-hmm. in a smoothie. We discovered that together. That was a bonding
that
moment.
That was rank.
Mm-hmm. Was rank. But Kez drank it anyway, which yeah. was like amazing.
I hate food waste.
I know. And I was like, I can't drink that. You were like, I'll drink it. Like, I really why? Food waste. Why?
So if I make something gross.
She drank the whole thing. It was like some sort of competition. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it'd be a green smoothie, often like something quick, like toast.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favourite, I'm in a rush, grab breakfasts used to be like wholemeal bread, like PB&J basically.
Yeah.
Sandwich, because then I could eat it whilst I flew out the door.
Okay. And what would your lunches be like? Well,
often more
ago,
bread.
Yeah, bread and...
Like a sandwich, soup and a sandwich often, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Was very, very, very common, or cheese on toast or something like that.
And then your family dinners...
Would be, so like things like spag bol and meatball wraps. And so I made them all from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Roast dinners sometimes, homemade quiches, pies. Oh, mince and dumplings in the winter.
Oh, yes. You were good at making mince dumplings.
Mince and dumplings in the winter. Mm-hmm. With gravy. Mm. Yeah. Sausages.
Yeah, such casserole. Okay, so that was kind of roughly. So for those of you listening, that's a really standard, normal.
Yeah, throw in a pizza Friday. That's yeah. probably me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the. I'd say lots of people that come to me and send me their food diaries don't. It doesn't look that dissimilar.
No.
So that was kind of where your starting point was, and so your what do you feel like was the hardest thing about? Making that initially deciding to do it, what would you feel like was the hardest thing?
I think it was definitely the feeling rough and having to plan for such a big change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're tired, because it really affected my energy levels, were really low.
Yeah.
And just trying to think outside the box when your brain's like sludge,
yeah,
that was really hard. So being like, all right, well, I'm not having pasta and I'm not having cheese and I'm not having soy, so what do I have for breakfast? What do I have for lunch?
Yeah.
When you're so ingrained into the grab a sandwich type
yeah.
thing, even though it's on homemade bread still, you're still like, well, what do you eat instead of bread? That's the problem I found. One of the biggest things to overcome was your mindset tends to be, well, what am I going to eat instead of pasta? What am I going to eat instead of bread? And you're like, well, you're not going to eat anything instead of, you're just going to eat something else.
Yes. That's a good point.
So, yeah, I think that was probably quite tricky. And just the habit change, like the thinking habit of
yes.
planning, how you plan your meals. Because often I would get the carb and then plan around the carb, like in mm-hmm. terms of like the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, let's do pasta bake. And when you've practically looked at my plate, it would look more, far more like the wheat grain bit of the plate would take mm-hmm. up way more space than the meat or the veg. And some of that was because our finances were really tight
mm-hmm.
and have been for a long time. So, and like pasta and stuff is cheaper. So
yeah.
you get into the habit of filling up on that kind of thing.
Yeah, you do.
When finance is tight. But yes, gone on. So I think changing in my head what a plate should look like and things like
yes.
that.
Which is really helpful. I chat to people a lot because I think what you were just saying is really common and often was what we've been told by like governmental food plates, or if you think about it like a triangle, at the bottom of the triangle at one point we were being encouraged as by like, you know, nutrition policy as a nation to have, you know, 7-8 portions of whole grains and then a little bit of, you know, and then kind of like your vegetables and then a little bit of protein and then a little bit of fats, and actually making most of the time when people are making these kind of dietary shifts, actually you've got to completely shift and flip that triangle around a lot of the time. And the carbs or the grains, the pastas, the couscous, the breads actually don't, it's stopping, it's no longer having them as a foundation for your meal.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a habit shift. So what did you go from your peanut butter and jam sandwiches in
which
the morning.
Are still awesome.
I mean, peanut butter and jam is a great combination.
But maybe not the best way to start your day.
Yeah. So what did you switch to?
Well, my first thing was I was already into green smoothies.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that fits the bill.
Yes. Yeah.
But I had to be quite careful with my green smoothies because of I wanted to cut out peanuts as well because I knew that I'm a bit of a like that sort of person, so I was like, if I'm cutting out wheat and I'm cutting out dairy for a short period of time, I also cut out nuts as like peanuts because I knew they caused you problems. I thought, well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah.
But because one of my favourite ones, but I just switched out my nut butter. That was easiest enough
okay.
to do.
Yeah.
Just still a big nut butter fan, just not as obsessed with peanut butter anymore.
So
smoothies
just...
and eggs because they're so
okay.
quick.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the scrambled egg for breakfast thing wasn't always my jam.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of just got used to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And enjoyed that I could have a very full-on morning with kids or playgroups or running around or doing exercise and still not feel like I'm going to flake out any second.
Yeah.
With three eggs in, yeah.
It's yeah.
pretty good.
Eggs are really good for that, actually.
And flipping around my snacking as well, so I try my snacks instead of being quite grainy based were quite protein based instead. So I tried. It was an effort though, because I'm like, oh, I need a snack to take for after like my exercise class.
Mm-hmm.
Pio with Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
So
hi,
fun.
Jenny.
Hi Jenny. We know you're listening. she's lovely, by the way. I wish every mum could come to our Pio class.
Pio class.
So great. Great bounce, great workout. Bit of resistance.
It is hard.
Strength training. Women need to do strength training.
Oh, we do. Amen.
So good. Anyway, hi, Jenny. But like, what am I going to take to eat after that? That's a protein.
But yes.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah. And it is. It's those initial... Because I would say once you've made these kind of habit changes, it gets so much easier. But there is an initial period of time where it's like shifting gear that feels really crunchy and you're like, oh, what do I buy at the shop?
I planned everything. Like,
yes.
I had to plan. And I had to. Otherwise, I'd be hungry. And you don't. That's dangerous. Like, the minute you start regularly being hungry and then if you are hungry and you're still in that I'm not quite sure what I'm eating phase, that's trouble, definitely. Because
yeah.
you're like, oh, I'll just eat. Oh, well, I'm hungry, so I'll just eat this. And you're like, well, no. And often the reason you get into that position is because you're not planned for it.
Yes.
You're not shopped for it. You've not thought about it. You've not thought, I'm going to work and then I've got my exercise class after work. I need to take a substantial snack. What could that be? What can I buy? What can I take?
Yeah.
Planning. Planning is so important. You
so
know.
Would you say that's probably your number one kind of success strategy?
Definitely.
Kind of meal planning.
I've got my meal plan on my fridge.
Yeah.
It's magnetic because I'm so cool. It's there. So, and what I did at first, it's not there anymore, but what I did at first would be like breakfast, you're going to eat that. Lunch, you're going to eat that. Dinner, you're going to eat this. If you're hungry in the morning, you could have this or this. If you're hungry in the afternoon, you could have this or this. So I was never in a place where, I planned so that I wouldn't be in a place where I'd be like staring into the fridge like, oh. Because you've got to remember, I've got kids and I've got a husband. They still have their stuff in the cupboard. It's still there. I couldn't like chuck out all the bread and chuck out all the crisps.
Yes.
It's still there. And it's still there today. That doesn't mean I have to eat it just because it's there.
Mm.
So yeah, planning.
It's key. And actually what you said about not just people might often plan dinners, but when you're making, when you're looking to change your habits when it comes to what you eat, actually there is a period of time when you need to change. Yeah, you need to like plan, think about what you're gonna eat for breakfast, what you're gonna eat for lunch, what you're gonna eat for a snack.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean some people do that, then they just carry on and they do that for the, you know, just till it becomes a habit. But often actually after a period of time, it does, your habit shift. You know what you buy, you know what you have for lunch, and it doesn't need to be as intensive planning. No. But I do think planning and meal planning in a way that works for you actually saves you so much time, energy, and sets you up for success. Because I think otherwise meal times become this dinner stressful thing of like, I'm really, really hungry. Crap, I need something dairy free. Oh, I'm gluten free. Oh, I can't have that pasta and pesto. Oh, and then you get your rise in cortisol and adrenaline, and it becomes this, and then food becomes this completely stressful thing, which is not gonna help you sustain anything.
And I know I'm doomed if it gets to tea time and I don't know what I'm having.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of people are like, oh, how can you plan all your meals? What if you don't fancy it that day? And I'm like, by the time it gets to 4 o'clock, love, I'll eat whatever you put in front of me. Like, I'm not that kind of person. But if you are, if you're like, well, I really don't want to eat that curry today, well, you've got something else on your list. Just swap it out for something else and eat that curry another day. But the fact is, you've got all the ingredients in you need to make something nutritious. And I would always make sure at the start of the week, so on a... The Sunday cook-up didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried doing that and it just didn't work. But so what I did was incorporated into my meal plan a bulk meals.
Mm-hmm.
So things like if I was making a spag bol, I would make sure I made loads. And then that could do some lunches. It could do a dinner later in the week. It could do, you know, I could put it in the freezer for an emergency meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just meant that I'm cooking that bolognese anyway. I may as well make it count. So I do that now as a matter of course. If I'm making anything like that, like a stew or a bolognese or a chili or anything like that that freezes brill, I always make millions of it, loads. Like I'm talking 2 kilograms of, 2 kilograms of mince, guys. You know, I've got a family of 5. So if it's big, it's really big.
And I think that is a really helpful strategy. If you're chopping onions anyway, you may as well chop another onion. And if you're cooking... bolognese anyway, you may as well cook double and freeze or have it for lunches.
Yeah.
And speaking of lunches, most of the time people are like, well, what will I have for lunch? So what do you eat for lunch now? So you were a soup and sandwich kind of girl.
I still love soup.
Yeah.
I love my soups. And it did take me a while to get over the, well, what do I have with it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of over that now.
Yeah.
Right. If your soup's good enough, you don't need anything with it.
Yeah, you just need like a really good, we're not talking like a watery...
I'm not talking cabbage soup, guys.
No.
You know, like, it's got lentils. It's got loads of root veg.
In there and some veg and some broth. And you could have some avocado with it or top it with some nuts or whatever.
Like chicken soup. Oh, that's my fave. Or in the summer, I tended to have like a man salad.
Yeah.
I found the secret to success with salads is just don't start with the leaves. Start with like the good stuff.
Oh yeah, like all your toppings.
So I'm a big fan of these salad jars, which I always thought were a bit poncy, but they do kind of work.
Yeah, it's good for on the go as well.
Sad to say. So you get your big jar, guys. In the bottom, you put like your seeds and your dressing and nuts, and then just look in the cupboards for anything exciting you could put in a salad. So I'm all right with goat's cheese, so I put a bit of feta in there. Put a bit of avocado in the bottom.
Mm.
And then before you know it, you've got like half a jar of like all the nice stuff.
Yeah,
and
all then, the good bits. All the good bits.
And then I basically just kind of, in the space that's left, put some spinach leaves in.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like packing, really.
Yes, with that. Squish it down.
Like just squash like 4 leaves in. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to eat, you just give it a shuzzle. Mm-hmm. And it's great.
And eating.
So that was me over the summer. That was my secret to like a load of picnics and... packed lunches and stuff.
And going into winter, what will you mainly be soups or do you do leftovers?
I love soups. I do, and then loads of leftovers.
Yeah, I think leftovers are really helpful.
In the summer, it was like I used to do like a quiche. So if I was doing a grain-free quiche, I use like sweet potato instead of as a crust, and then I fill it. They work really well for lunch in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And in the winter, it will be like whatever we've had for tea, have recycled as lunches, which makes your mornings way easier. My husband's totally come on board because he can just open the fridge, scoop something tasty out, and take it. He's like, it's way better than a sad sandwich.
Yeah, it is.
Way better. So he...
A nice hot pot of chili with some avocado and goat cheese on top. Or like a rubbish.
Or I'll do a load of jack of potatoes. That's the other thing I do. Start of the week, tons of jack of potatoes in the oven. And then they're pre-roasted in the fridge. So it's just a quick blast in the microwave or a quick reheat in the oven. Depending how you feel about microwaves.
We want to...
It's not going...
Oh, controversial.
I've got one. Guess it doesn't.
Oh, no, I do have one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't for ages, but then I wanted to make mug cakes. You don't know if anyone's ever seen on Pinterest, you're like, 1 minute mug cakes. It's primarily the reason why
they save,
I wanted
they save lives.
Well, exactly. 1 minute mug cakes.
So we did that.
Pinterest it.
So there, my lunches. They're great. Leftovers are amazing for lunch.
Okay, great. And what about social occasions?
Ooh, tricky.
That's often a big obstacle for people.
I'm quite lucky because like family social occasions with like our side of the family are with you. So it was quite nice because I could be like, well, Kez, I'm taking this. What are you taking?
Yeah.
And we'll make sure it makes up a meal between the two of us, which was good. But then our sister-in-law also, she's really sort of cut out grains and stuff. So we're kind of all in the same boat now. Andy's the other side of the family is a bit trickier because they're a bit think it's weird and think it's a bit of a fad thing.
Yeah.
So I just take a lot of food with me.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid. And it's nice if it's a buffet thing, it's less awkward to turn up with your own stuff. But I always used to always make sure I take something that I know is good for me to eat. Yeah. So that I always have that option.
And that comes back to that kind of like personal ownership, actually. Yeah. When you're making these kind of nutritional shifts in order to help your body heal, in order for you to feel better, in order for you to feel like yourself, whatever your goals are, actually, there is a level of ownership and responsibility you have to take. Like, I think, especially in social things, you can't expect other people to pander to all your...
And I wouldn't want to be like, you need to make me something that's grain and dairy free. Like, to someone who's got no experience in that at all. It took me months to get my head around that. I don't expect them to do it for one evening. So if people invited us over for dinner, I'd offer to cook. And if they really wanted to cook, I'd be like, oh, well, you could make this or that.
Yeah, send like recipe or just ideas.
Just make bolognese and I just won't eat the pasta. And they're like, oh. Often people feel like, oh, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat twice as much meat as all of you. Like, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
And it's communicating well with the person. Like, this is not a judgment on your food. I'm just having to be, this is just for me right now. Mm-hmm. Your food is great. It looks great. I'm sure it tastes great. But I'm going to stick to this if that's okay.
Yeah.
And things like that. And when I go to Andy's folks, I just take a lot. So I take some rice cakes and I take some like oat milk and also I have grace for them.
Yeah.
So they do their best. Like, oh, we made this because it suits you, you know, thought it'd be good for you. But they've, you know.
It maybe isn't 100%.
It's maybe not 100%. I don't know what stock they've used. I don't, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm aware of that before I go. So I can plan for a wee reset when I get back and things like that.
Yeah, I think social occasions, it is a lot about communicating beforehand, a bit of organisation in there, and also not taking responsibility for how other people respond to your food choices.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of like a boundaries thing, actually. If someone wants to judge you for what you're eating or what you're choosing to not focus on eating, then that's fine.
Yeah. And that sort of thing doesn't bother me as much as it should.
No, and it does. I know some people listening, it will bother them a lot. But
it's not really something I struggle with, but I understand that it can be. It's just a case of I'm doing me. And I'm not.
And everyone's body is
different.
And
don't be an arse about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't necessarily need to like make it a big deal.
Don't start preaching in the middle of their... while they're eating spaghetti about how gluten is an evil of the world. Like, don't be a dick. But, like, you can do it.
That's a good point.
Do you and do it nice. And be like, Yeah. That looks really good. Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying that. That's really good. Oh, no. I'm fine without the pasta, thanks. Oh, yeah, yes. No problem. Yeah, not a problem. Don't worry.
And also, you can communicate as well sometimes with partners or close family. If you're making these big kind of shifts or you're trying something out, it's also trying to get them on board with your why as well.
Yeah.
Like trying to communicate, not just be like, oh, this is another thing. I can't eat this and I can't eat this. Actually, before you even say I'm being gluten-free or dairy-free or whatever the thing is that you're wanting to shift or whatever you want to eat more of, or is actually being like, oh, well, I've maybe really been struggling with feeling tired and fatigued recently, or I'm really wanting to balance my hormones, or I'm really wanting to, whatever your why is, actually communicating that to people. And you'll often find that people are a lot more receptive if you're like, actually, so-and-so, I've just been really, really tired recently. So I'm just trying to see if, not having dairy actually just helps with my energy levels, because I've just not been feeling great. Mm-hmm. And people are far more likely to respond positively to that as opposed to, you need to make me a dairy-free meal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry you've been so tired. If they care about you, they don't want you to feel crap.
And I've had people being great. Yeah. That was always my tack, because I was quite vocal about how rubbish I was feeling before, because I'm quite vocal about just life. I'm just quite vocal. And people were great. And they were really, really supportive that I was being proactive and trying something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. And actually now, what's happened, so this is like a year and a half on from me starting,
mm-hmm.
Loads of people are asking me, what did you do? What have you tried? What, mm-hmm. How have you done it? So, some of our family members have tried eliminating things,
mm-hmm.
because they've seen the impact. They've seen me before and they saw me after and they thought,
yeah.
There's something in this.
Yeah.
Which I feel a bit sad for you, because you've been doing it for years.
It's fine.
But I think because they've seen the before and they've seen the after with me, rather than you, who's always been the weird hippie.
Yeah, always.
I can say that to her. Nobody else can. like, it's really been good for them, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's inspired our mum and it's inspired other people in, like, my friendship group to try eliminating things. Yeah. To varying degrees of success.
And that's why you don't actually need to be preachy. You don't need to try and convince people to do what you're doing. Because actually, it's the ripple effect. When you do you, and when you prioritize and value how you feel and your health and how your body's working, and you take responsibility and take action on that, and you just focus on you,
mm-hmm.
actually the transformation that you see slowly in your health, other people witness, and there's a ripple effect where you don't need to preach, you don't need to tell everyone the evils of refined sugars. Actually, they'll see the proof in your life and then it will change. And that's how our families changed loads,
yeah.
from how we grew up. From is this kind of outworking ripple effect. It's not necessarily from either of us sitting and preaching about the evils of whatever.
Yeah.
It's...
So have faith, guys, because our family get-togethers now are totally different, aren't they?
Totally different.
It used to be... Okay, I'm going to paint a picture. Used to be Kezzy, basically, sat on the end of the table with her little pre-packed Tupperware or something,
yeah.
while the rest of us basically eat crackers and cheese.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Kez was with her gluten-free oatcakes and some pate or something. And now it's totally different.
Yeah.
There is loads of veggies. There's loads of options. There's still a bit of cheese.
Cheese there. But that's okay.
But when it's a big family get-together celebration.
We do like cheese.
We all like cheese.
Cheese just doesn't like us.
No, cheese doesn't like us at all. But we all eat. But it does mean now, guys, that when we at family get-togethers, the quality of cheese is so much better.
Yeah, and things like, mum and dad eat way more vegetables.
Yeah.
They have a juicer. Like, mum came and gave you ginger shots.
Yeah.
Our granddad, who's 93, he has his, his vitamin D every day and his berries and his vegetables. Like, and that's not how we grew up.
Not at all.
I grew up with ketchup sandwiches and tiny apple pies, and
you're hungry, have some cereal, and
yeah, which is normal.
So there's faith, there's hope,
there is.
It will just be you, and don't be a dick. Like, that's the moral of the story.
That's just a summary of how to go dairy and gluten free. Hit it here first. Don't be a dick. I mean, that will get you far, though.
It really does.
It will. This is why I have guests on, guys.
You want to hire more of my sage wisdom. Say in the comments, bring back Jess.
Yeah, let me know. No nonsense health chat.
There's a reason. With Jess Brown. There's a reason I don't do the health coaching. And that is it right there.
You just be like to people, well, you've been a twat, so stop doing that.
Jog on.
Yeah, there's a reason she does some of the behind the scenes stuff, not the actual program creation.
Let's just say, if you want a listening ear, talk to Kez. If you want to know what's what, talk to me.
I know, you can email her.
We're sisters, but we're very different.
Info@superNaturallyHealthyDog.org. well, thanks, Jess. I think has been really helpful, actually. Just helping people, just some of the practical.
And you can do it. I know people say it's hard, but it kind of isn't hard.
Mm.
You've just got to say you're going to do it, plan it, do it.
Yeah.
Quit making excuses.
Put it in the diary. Do your meal plan. Make sure you have lots of good food around.
Yeah. It's not hard.
And then along the process, be kind to yourself. You know, if like day 10, you accidentally eat soy sauce, you didn't realize, or whatever it is.
Someone tells you the secret ingredient in the spag bol, soy sauce. Yeah. And you're like, no.
That's okay. It's fine. It's just food at the end of the day. The whole point of doing anything like this, any change, is so that you can feel better, heal your body, and feel good. And you berating yourself and beating yourself up is the absolute polar opposite of those actual goals and aims. So just to remind you all, because I know we have a tendency to hit ourselves with sticks. Dietary sticks.
Oh, yeah. Made of like that low-fat, terrible butter.
Yeah, made of a terrible, super low-fat butter that just we hit ourselves with. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Part two in Jess's kitchen. If you want to know more and learn more about your body and make sure that you hear from me regularly, then make sure you go over and do the Supernaturally Healthy quiz or the Gut Goddess quiz, which is at supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. And then you'll do the quiz. I can send you a bit of a plan of action and a report that will end up in your inbox. And then you'll also be on my list. So you'll hear from me.
And if you're lucky, me.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're lucky, Jess, on a relatively, probably every 2 weekly basis, I'll email out and let you know awesome things that are happening. Otherwise, have an amazing day. Sending you lots of love. And anything else to add, Jess?
Many things.
Many things.
Just go be awesome.
Go be awesome. And we're going to go on a nursery run.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Woo, woo.
Okay.
Do you have to be serious now?
No, just talk normally. I'm just going to do another little check.
This is my normal voice.
My normal podcasting voice.